So it's the last lecture. Yes. Oh. It's been a great weekend. Thank the Lord. We did get showers of blessing. We will accept no less. And the Lord is always faithful. So we want to say thank you. It's been a wonderful day yesterday, and we have a little bit more to go. So I'm going to introduce the last brother by way of Brooklyn. And I'll say Brownsville, East New York. Brother Joe, come on up.
You're not even going to sing a chorus.
We're not going to sing Arky Arky, but I'll open in prayer. Do you have a favorite chorus, Brother Joe? Okay, so let's open in prayer.
Pleasant good morning to everyone again. And for the past few hours, it has been very rough on me because I realized that quite a number of the campers have left, and I take it personally. And then on last night, I'm trying to get into the 21st century, so I decided I'm going to put my notes on my tablet, which was given to me by one of my sons, only to discover I lost all my notes. So I have to go home and ask them, what did I do wrong to lose all my notes? And we didn't sing a chorus before I came to speak, so everything seems to be going wrong this morning, you know? I'm in the middle of my cough drops, and here's this Brother Carlos is saying, come on up. But the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. And for some of us, it might be a little awkward that we title the camp, The Coming of the Lord, and we're talking about all these different aspects of things. And you might have been saying to yourself, well, we want to hear more about the rapture. We want to hear more about the tribulation. We want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to set up his kingdom and all of these things, which it's not bad. It's very good. But we have to live in this world in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every aspect of our lives has to be lived in the good of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I realize that the Lord Jesus can come at any moment, that alters the way I live here in this scene. It will really do. For many of us as believers, we have lost sight of this. We are saved. And we thank God for that. We had an opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in his death. A request that he has made to us to do it. And when he gave the instructions in regards to remembering him, it also points to the fact that he is coming again. Do this in remembrance of me, and by doing it, you show forth my death until I come again. So as we had the opportunity this morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, we go forth tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and we live every day of the week in with the expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ may come. But if he doesn't come on any of those days during the week, It gives me another opportunity on the next Lord's Day to show forth his death until he comes again. And this is a daily thing, that I would live in the good of my Lord can come at any moment. But if he doesn't come, it brings me back to the Lord's Day, where I can sit with his people in response to his dying requests to remember him and to show forth his death till he comes again. And so we've had the privilege of looking at different aspects of things in the book of Peter. And my responsibility this morning is to look at shepherding. The care that we should have one for the other in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like us to begin in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning at verse 30. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And lastly, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock, and look well to thy herd. As I was making preparation, I had to conclude in my own soul that I have not lived up to the expectation that God has in regards to caring for his people. But I would like us to ask ourselves the questions this morning. Who is taking care of you? Ask yourself that question. Spiritually speaking, who is taking care of you? And then ask yourself another question. Who am I taking care of? Because in light of the scripture that we have in 1 Peter chapter 5, it is to the elders to take care of the flock of God. But because this is a young adult camp, and we have always encouraged the young people that, you know, you have to get serious, that things are going to be committed into your hands, the future of the assembly rests in your hands, we want to talk to each other in such a way this morning that we not only set old against young, but we come into the good of what God has for us. So that as we leave the camp, you can, in your mind, say to yourself, there are those that the Lord wants me to take care of. And if you do not take care of the people of God, the sheep, as it were, there are dangers that the sheep will encounter. If there is no food provided for the sheep, for the flock, the sheep will wander away and they will find food because there is a need. They will find food outside of where they are. And as it were, it's a crisis that we are facing. We all complain about the young people leaving, and at times we ask ourselves, well, why? We have to ask ourselves whether or not we are giving them adequate food, whether or not we are saying to ourselves, let us examine the flock to see how are they faring, whether or not they are sick, whether or not they are weak, whether or not they need to be clean. And beloved, we are saying to ourselves this morning, that it is it's a very difficult job, as it were. I would use that, but I'm using carefully. A very difficult job that we are in, that involve in caring for God's people. But the Lord Jesus has given to us examples from his word as to how it ought to be done. And we want to just glimpse at what took place in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and what example was given to the host in regards to caring for one of God's people. In Luke chapter 10, we read of this man that fell among thieves. Oh man, they had a field day. You would think that he was on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. He just fell among thieves. And they gave him a good whipping. They took his iPhone, they took his iPad, they took his gold, they took his silver, they checked his wallet, they saw MasterCard, they saw Visa, they saw American Express, and he says, I thank God he didn't leave home without it, because it's all mine now. It's all mine. And they left the man there half dead. And you say to yourself, this is not Jericho, this is Brooklyn, this is New York. So many came from New York. And we can identify ourselves with these things. And you know, Eastern Parkway, those of you who live there, we have the Jews. We have those who walk around in their nice curly hair on the side, and their black hats, and their black coats, and their black pants. And this man fell among the thieves, and the scripture says, lo and behold, Rabbi Rabinowitz passed by. And Rabbi Rabinowitz, he is a priest. And there it is, he looked upon the man that was beaten and left for half dead. And he says, you know what? The synagogue is right down there now. I got to go to my service. Just kept on going. The Levite took a look at the man at a distance, walked by. It's all building up, beloved, so that we can develop in our souls what is required in taking care of the sheep, taking care of each other, taking care of God's people. So as the priest passed by, as the Levite passed by, here comes this Samaritan. Now, mind you now, he is on his journey, and he now has to inconvenience himself in order to take care of this man that fell among thieves. The Samaritan came and, let's look at what the scripture says. He approached the man. A certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, he came where he was. He came where this man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This is what is said of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. He looked upon the multitude that were gathered. The scripture says about 5,000 men plus women and children. The Lord Jesus looked upon this crowd and he saw that they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And the scripture said he was moved with compassion towards them. And beloved saints, if we have a desire to take care of God's people, we need to have a heart of compassion. We need to have a heart of compassion. It's not simply, well, I'm going to just send him a text and tell him get well soon and all of this. That's nice and it has its place. But to take care of God's people, it needs a heart of compassion. It means I go down to where he is and address the need that he has. This is what the Samaritan did. He simply went to where he was and he had compassion on him. And in verse 34 it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. Many of us, we see blood and we want to pass out. Where's the nurse? She's in the back there. She knows what I'm talking about. We see a little vomit. Oh, I can't deal with this. And there are some irky stuff that we have to deal with when it comes to taking care of people. Brother Brian will tell you that we go to a rescue mission and the type of people we meet. You say to yourself, how in the world do you survive? But the Lord has led us there. There are people we have to hug and shake and eat with. Just so that we can share the good news of the gospel with them. But this is what the Samaritan did. He went down to where he is and he bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine. It's not simply now having a heart of compassion, but using what you have to address the need. The wine he poured in so that the wounds would not get infected and all of this. And the oil he poured in to give the man some comfort and some peace. He is taking what he has to address a particular need. It says, and he set him on his own beast. Now, if he put the man on the beast, what does he have to do? He has to walk. He has to walk to the inn while the man is on his beast. Beloved, if we are to take care of the needs of God's people, there are going to be some inconveniences. There's going to be some time when we have to walk while others ride the beast, our beast. And many a times we're not willing to be inconvenienced. We're not willing to go out of the way. We're not willing to go the extra mile. We're not willing to take off the coat. We're not willing to give up the shirt. We're not willing to stop at the ATM. But beloved, if we are to take care of God's people, these are some of the inconveniences that we will experience. But he put him on his beast and brought him to the inn, and he took care of him. Mind you now, he did not simply bring him to the inn and said to the innkeeper, take care of him. He spent some extra time with the man. He was there with him and he took care of him. Beloved, this is so vital as we care for God's people. The need to spend time with them. And while he is there taking care of the man, the innkeeper is observing what he is doing towards the man. So when he leaves now, he says to the innkeeper, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. How would the innkeeper know what to do? He had the Samaritan as an example. He was there observing what the Samaritan was doing to this man that fell among thieves, a man who was half dead, a man that was ridden on his beast, a man that experienced all that he experienced, and now the host is being asked to take care of him. And this is what we are called upon to do, to take care of each other. The Samaritan says, look, I did all what I did, but there's still need for more. He stuck his hands in his pocket and he says, look, 2 pence. Take care of him. But if you spend anything more, when I come again. And this is in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we want to link it together. That in light of taking care of the people of God, we are doing it in light of He is coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And nothing that we spend extra, the Lord will gladly repay us, as it were. This is what the Samaritan said to the host, to the innkeeper. I want you to take care of him. I'm leaving you this resource, the resources, as it were, in order for you to take care of him. And if you spend anything more than what I have given, I'll take care of you in the future. Beloved saints, it's not so much of what we are given. It's what the Lord wants to give to us in the future in regards to taking care of his people. So he says to the innkeeper, I am coming again. So if the innkeeper knows that the Samaritan is coming again, he just can't do a shabby job in taking care of this man. He would come back and he would ask the man, look, so how was the service? Let's do a little survey here. I want you to rate the service from 1 to 10. You know, how was he kind? Was the appearance good? How was the... Beloved saints, this is what the Lord is going to test us with. He is going to, as it were, say, well, how was the service? That takes us to 1 Peter. He left the man in the inn. And that is where the care would be given. And for those of us who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this is what has happened to us spiritually. The devil, as it were, has whipped us. He has left us half dead. The devil has no care for you. All he wants is to use you and to abuse you and take you to a Christless eternity. But thank God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has, as it were, he has passed by. He saw your condition. He saw how you were left, how dead. He recognized that he had the means to take care of your soul, to take care of your body, to take care of your spirit. And he says, I have the oil and I have the wine. I have shedded my precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. And I died in your place so that you might live. But I'm going to bring you in a circle, as it were. I'm going to bring you to the inn so that others might take care of you in my absence. The local assembly. You are in the inn, in your local assembly, and you should be cared for by someone. So Peter then writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he's writing to the responsible elements, the elders, and Peter says, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here Peter is taking a low place amongst God's people. He didn't say, look, I am Peter, the apostle. I am Peter with the authority. I am Peter who can preach. He simply says, I am one of you. And brethren, we need to remind ourselves, we are just brothers amongst other brothers. That's all we are. Brothers amongst other brothers. We are not higher than this one or that one. We simply take the place that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. But what affected the heart of Peter are the things that he witnessed while the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon the earth. And beloved, we are suggesting to you this morning that what will affect your heart in regards to taking care of God's people are the things that God has shown to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on the earth. And it has left for us on the pages of scripture so that we can contemplate them. First Peter says, I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And here it is. Peter was with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus was there, the scripture says, in agony, and his sweat were pouring down and they were dropping to the ground as great drops of blood. And there Peter was in the midst of it all, just sleeping. And after the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, Peter was by the fire. fire warming himself. Peter, as it were, had all these things in his mind. But then they took the Lord Jesus Christ. They whipped him. They spat in his face. They plucked his beard. Peter was witnessing all these things. And then they took him to the cross of Calvary. And they nailed him there. He was extended, as it were, between heaven and earth. And Peter, seeing all these things, he fled. But it had an impact upon the heart of Peter. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, when you recognize in your soul that he suffered for you and he suffered for me, it affects the way you deal with each other. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, it had an impact upon him that the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross was the blood that was shed to wash away my sins and your sins. And he suffered. The Lord Jesus, while he was there, suffered at the hands of man, but he also suffered at the hands of God. Beloved, it was for you and it was for me. And Peter is asking us, does that mean anything to you in 2015? It should. It should. But then he also says, not only the sufferings of Christ, but he says, I was a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 1, the end of verse 1. What a moment it was that Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there appeared Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you, Vera. Vera would know this. Did the Rangers win on Friday? They lost. Thank God. We have more time to attend the meeting. But they didn't talk about the hockey. They didn't talk about the NHL. They didn't talk about Steph Curry and LeBron James. Oh no. While they were there on the mount, they were talking about the decease of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what occupied their hearts while they were with him there on the mount. They were talking about his death and that which he will accomplish when he went to the cross of Calvary. And in the midst of it all, while Moses and Elijah were talking to the Lord Jesus Christ about his death, the cloud came down and they were all in the cloud, and the glory of God, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, how his countenance changed, how it was just shining, it was different. And Peter is looking upon this and he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Beloved saints, we want you to know it's always good to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing like it. Peter says it's good for us to be here. Oh, when we come together, beloved, it's for us to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the preacher may not have much to say, but the presence of the Lord Jesus is there where two or three are gathered unto his name. And the presence of the Lord Jesus makes the difference. Makes the difference. And Peter says it's good for us to be here. But he wanted to make three tabernacles. But God says, look, you're missing the point. It's my son who is the most important here. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And what we need to do is to appreciate the presence of the Lord Jesus. The Lord allowed Peter to taste a little bit of the glory that will be his in a day to come when they were there on the mount. And Peter says, look, it had an impact upon my life. In verse 2, just touching this, it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, Peter remembered the Lord Jesus, his words in John chapter 10. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Peter remembered in John chapter 21, after the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from amongst the dead, he came to Peter and he said to Peter, Peter, I understand just a few days ago you were saying that you did not know me. But Peter, now I have gone into death. I have tasted death for everything. But Peter, right now I am on resurrection ground. It's a new beginning, Peter. I want to ask you straightforward. Let's talk, Peter, man to man. Let's talk face to face. Peter, do you love me? And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And all we are saying to you this morning, beloved, just put your name in that passage. Just ask yourself, as though the Lord Jesus is asking you the question. Joe, do you love me? Brian, do you love me? Andre, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And if the answer is yes, then he said to us this morning, I want you to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And if you do not have love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be a good shepherd. You're not going to love the sheep. Now, the sheep may not love you, but you better love the sheep. You better love the sheep. Peter experienced these things. This is what he was recalling in his soul as he's writing to the elders. I want you to be good shepherds. I want you to take care of God's people. He is saying, in my lifetime, these are the things that I experience. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus. The glory to come. The fact that the Lord Jesus gave his life for the sheep. The fact that he says to Peter, if you love me, I want you to take care of the sheep. Verse 3, it says, neither as being lords over them, over God's heritage, but being example of the flock. Peter remembered in John chapter 13 how the Lord Jesus Christ took the water, the basin, the towel, girded himself, washed the disciples' feet. Washed the disciples' feet. And the Lord Jesus said to them on that occasion, if I am your Lord, and if I am your master, and I can take such a place amongst you, you should be able to do it one towards the other. We not only need to have love for the sheep, but we also have to learn humility. We have to have love, and we have to learn humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it is Peter speaking to the elders. This is your responsibility. In verse 5, it begged the younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Now, in today's society, that's a challenge. I'm learning it. Just this past Wednesday, my youngest son graduated from college. And I had to say to both of my sons, you guys accomplished something that I did not accomplish. Graduating from college. They're the ones who are teaching me how to use these things that we walk around in our pockets with. My son, my youngest one, always have to remind me whenever I'm leaving home, Dad, remember, Wi-Fi is your best friend. So everywhere I go, I'm like, you all know, what's your password? And I go, beep, 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 beep. I see you guys do it. But trust me, there are a lot of things that this generation is teaching this generation and that generation. Because we are in a different world. We are living in your world now. But that does not take away the standard that God has set forth in his word. We have to learn as young people what it is to submit ourselves to the elders. And then we have to learn how to submit ourselves one to the other. It's difficult. But not because you have your degrees and you can send a text in less than 60 seconds and we have to take 10 minutes. That doesn't mean, you know, you just trash us like that. No. There's a standard that God has set forth in his word. So Peter is saying, I have experienced all of these things in my lifetime. I have experienced the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have experienced the glory that shall be revealed. I have experienced what it is not to lord over God's people because I saw it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was my example. The Lord Jesus Christ was Peter's example. And now he's telling us, I want you to feed the flock of God. You are like food, right? McDonald's? 24 hours a day? Can you imagine? 24 hours a day. And in the United States, you know, it surprises me that there are hungry people in the United States. It's one of those things that boggles my mind. A land with so much food, there are hungry people. But what's also worse, that there are many assemblies where there are hungry people crying out for food. Where is the food? And the scripture is telling us, feed the flock of God. There was a danger in the Old Testament, and I recommend this chapter to your reading, Ezekiel chapter 34, where God looked at the shepherds, those who were supposed to be taking care of the sheep. And he says, you know what? You guys are just making yourself fat. You guys are just taking advantage of the sheep. And this is what we have in Christianity today. When I hear of a preacher telling people, my toilet seat has to be gold, I have a problem with that. But when I hear of preachers telling people, send money, send money, send money, I have a problem with that. Beloved, what we are of should be about is feeding the flock of God, making sure that they are healthy, making sure that they are strong, making sure that they are cared for. Why? There are many dangers out there. It's the responsibility of the elder, the shepherd, as it were, to take care of the sheep. Feed them. And as young people, with the future in our hands, as it were, with you growing up in the assembly, one day the responsibility is going to be in your hands. We say to you, you got to get into the scriptures. So that you can have some food for God's people. We need to. We spend too much time, this is by way of encouragement, engage in other things rather than in the scriptures. And today, with all these freesermons.com, we can easily click here and it shows up. But there's nothing like being in the presence of God, getting the word from Him to feed His people. Feed the flock of God, verse 2, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So we're not only to feed, we have to do it willingly. Willingly. Then verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. It's one thing to, and I think we've heard it over the weekend, we not only have to say it, we have to live it. This is what the Samaritan did in Luke chapter 10. He was an example of how to take care of someone. And when he left the responsibility in the hands of the host to take care of him, the host can say, look, I've had an example in the Samaritan. You and I, if we are not good examples where we are, don't expect the sheep to respond to us. Don't we have eyes for all of our shortcomings in each other? And we will quicker talk about the shortcomings than the positive that we see in each other. For some reason, we're just wired that way. So it's imperative that we be examples to the flock. It's what turns people off. It's when we get to the desk and we say one thing and we get off, or we get to the street and we are something else. Peter is encouraging the shepherds. You have to be good example. So if you and I want to do this tremendous work in caring for God's people, we have to be prepared to serve and be available. We have to be prepared to serve and to be available. And I want to ask how many of us have seen a sheep, because living in the United States is not one of those animals, you know, we see a lot. But when it comes to shepherding, the shepherd is always with the sheep. Always. Brother Brian spoke about traveling to Moldova, and I think it is there I witness, you know, a big herd and this one man leading the sheep. He's always with them. And if we want to engage ourselves in shepherding, we cannot do it at a distance. We have to be with the sheep. I think Peter says, in neither as being lords over God's heritage, the shepherd is among, but he has the responsibility to take care. So he has to be available, and he has to be willing to serve. It's also somewhat of a risky business. In Luke chapter 15, we're told of the one sheep that went astray. And the shepherd left the 99 behind, and he went after this one sheep. Went out into the wilderness. Went out into the forest, just looking for the sheep. You see, the dangers that the sheep is subject to are the same dangers the shepherd is subject to. When the sheep wanders off, there is the lion, there's the wolf, there's the snake, all these things. And if the shepherd has to go after him, all these dangers he is faced with. The question is, are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to say to yourself, yes, it might be difficult to go after this one sheep with so many dangers, but I have a love for the sheep. I have a love for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I laid down my life for the sheep. And you and I have to get to that point. Also, we see that time is needed. Time and resource is needed to take care of the sheep. Many of us today, we would tell you, and for those of us who live in New York, we're busy. Always busy. Busy, busy. You see, that's this generation. I often say to the saints, and Brother Brian, he worked construction before he went full-time. I worked construction. It was a blessing that at 2:30 in the afternoon, we did like this. Many of you have never left your job at 2:30 as yet. Or maybe 2:30 a.m. in the morning, but not 2:30 p.m. It was a privilege to simply leave work at 2:30, and you had all the time, all the evening, to reach out to the saints and to care. But we are living in different times. The demands on your time is great. Your company wants you to work all sorts of crazy hours and fly here and fly there. But in order to help the sheep, it requires time. It requires resources. Like the Samaritan who went into his pocket and says, look, I want you to take care of him. You and I might have to dig into our pockets and say, look, I see you need this. We might have to stop at McDonald's and get a Happy Meal to really make someone happy. It requires all of this, time and resources. We also have to develop trust with the sheep. If it's one of the complaints I have heard over the years, I don't trust this person. My sheep, the Lord Jesus says, hears my voice. They follow me. And if we don't develop trust among ourselves, where you can confide in me, and it's not on Facebook, in the next 5 minutes, I cannot shepherd you. I cannot. The sheep, after observing the shepherd for a while, They see he is leading them. They see that he's protecting them from the dangers. The Lord says, my sheep, I know them all by name. The shepherd is developing a relationship with the sheep because he's responsible for them. And as time goes by, they're developing a trust in him. He stands, as it were, between them and the foe. And they're saying, well, look, if he's doing all of this. And they simply gravitate towards him. So we say for the future generation, we have to develop trust with each other. And the reason why I feel in many ways I have failed, when we talk to each other, you realize what a distance there is between us. You say to yourself at times, we live so close. We go to the same meeting and like we're total strangers. And in order for us to care for each other, there is that time that is needed so that we can, as it were, bridge the gap. That we can share what's on our hearts and that trust can be developed so that the care can be given. And as I had mentioned before, the shepherd stays with the sheep. The shepherd stays with the sheep. Again, not because the sheep love him, but because he loves the sheep. We understand not everybody is going to see it our way. Not everyone is going to see it our way. But we have to be willing to bridge the gap between ourselves, young people. We have to. If we bridge the gap and confidence is developed, we are saying that it helps as we render the care one towards the other. Because it's not only our responsibility, the older ones of this generation, to render it to you. But now you have to prepare yourself in order to render it to the next generation. And why are we doing this? Because of the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is what Peter says. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, verse 3, but being example to the flock, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Lord Jesus recognizes the challenge and the challenges there are in caring for his people. Many a times, thank you is not even heard. We appreciate what you're doing is not even heard. You simply have to stay focused. Because the chief shepherd, and that suggests that if he is the chief shepherd, we who are serving are just under shepherds. We are taking our example from him. But he says, look, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And if you serve faithfully as under shepherds, taking care of my flock, my people, there's a crown of glory that will be given to you. That is how we linked the coming of the Lord with serving his people, with shepherding. But it's not that, let me work towards this crown of glory now. No, 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 no. Serve the Lord's people faithfully. Lastly, we want to share as we mentioned in different ways earlier. Don't exalt self. Don't exalt yourself. It's a humbling work. But feed the flock of God. That's Peter's encouragement. We also find the same thought in Acts chapter 20 as Paul encouraged the elders. He says, feed the flock of God. See how important feeding is? It's very important to feed the sheep. Don't neglect the flock. We have to watch over them. We have to watch out for the dangers that they can fall into, the pitfalls. And many are young people and many saints have drifted away because the shepherds were not watchful. We were not watchful. And then lastly is do not rule, as we have in verse 3 of 1 Peter 5. Do not rule, but be an example. So what we are encouraging you to do, we point the four fingers at ourselves. It is expected of us. We have to set the standard in our lives because the Lord Jesus is our standard. And if you set a standard for yourself, as you reach out to others to care for them, and you says, look, this is what I have seen in the life of the Lord Jesus. I've come to appreciate his death, his glory, his service. The Lord will give you the grace to care for his people. May God encourage us with these thoughts for his name's sake.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you feel like you want to go on. There's more. You can't really exhaust God's word. You have such a wonderful time of fellowship together. It's sad that we have to leave soon. But when Brother Joe began, he mentioned some things in view of the Lord's coming, how we ought to live. And then he mentioned singing a chorus, so some words came to my mind. We didn't sing it this weekend, but I'm going to read you some lines from a hymn that should sound familiar to you. It may be at morn, when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The next one. Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word. Coming for those he redeemed by his blood. Coming to reign as the glorified Lord, Jesus is coming again. The end of that hymn says, Jesus is coming. The promise is true. Who are the chosen, the faithful, the few? Watching, waiting, prepared for review. Jesus is coming again. It doesn't get better. I hate leaving Mountain View. I tell everybody I know it's my second home. It is a place where my family comes and spends time together. We want to say thanks on behalf of my co-director, Brother Verrill Solon, and myself to first the brothers who have come from afar to share the word. So Brother Brian, Sister Denise, Brother Simon, Brother Joe, our Brother Aaron Coleman had to leave last night to go back to Maryland, but he has our thanks. It is invaluable. The passion for the work, the love for the Lord that we share. quite some time ago, there used to be a young people's meeting at Brother Brian and Sister Denise's house in Brooklyn on Lenox Road. And some of us used to go to that. And it's with fond memories that you think of investments. Brother Joe mentioned having shepherding and doing for others and care. Well, years after that, a few more of us meet at Brother Joe's house. Monday night, some 15 years ago. Every Monday, prayer, open up God's word. Brother Joe says, don't forget the food. Good food at Brother Joe's. But they saw a spiritual investment. And we see that with the next generation. And so I echo Brother Joe's words straight from Scripture to be encouraged to get to your local meeting. Because one day, should the Lord tarry, those who are older will be called home. And you will have to stand and be responsible and feed the flock and shepherd others. One of Brother Joe's comments was to keep in perspective daily living in view of the Lord's coming. And he said he could come at any moment. He could come before I step down from the podium. He could come as I'm on Interstate 80 driving back. He could come tomorrow. But we know that the promise is true. Yes. How am I to live? We say this to some campers at times. I was at camp once and we concluded. The bus took off down the hill. And before the bus hit close to Believer's bookshelf, some campers had their headphones on, earbuds in, and the music going. The problem was that what they were listening to had nothing to do with what we just did. So even before they left the hill, the devil was busy. And he wants to distract you, disrupt you, interrupt you, deter you, prevent you from growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The testimony for me is that I've been very blessed. Because some of us who used to be at Brother Brian and Brother Joe's are no longer here. Some who I used to run with are no longer here. One was killed years ago. One had to go to jail. Another left the meeting. So you see what the devil does. Be encouraged, young people. Go on for the Lord. Open up your book, your Bible, and read it. And gather together with the local saints, because it doesn't get any better. My family is gone. My grandparents are gone. My father's gone. My uncle's gone. My mother's in a wheelchair. None of them are in the meeting. My brother left the meeting. I'm kind of like the last man standing. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because it's not about family sometimes. It's not about the person sitting next to you. I used to sit right over there near where Michelle is. But you go on. And we thank the Lord for what he does. He changes lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We are going to close in a word of prayer. The kitchen staff is ready for us.
But before we conclude,
yes.
Let's rise and sing His Coming Day.
Okay. Brother Brian is saying before we close, we can sing one song, There Is Coming a Day.